Hey guys, I'm Ashley and I'm the daughter.
I'm Liz and I'm the mom.
And this is The Lesser Known.
Today I'm going over the interesting myths, legends, and ghost stories of Volcanoes National Park. But before we do, let's start with the question of the day and shout out to our Instagram followers. Ashley. What is your biggest pet peeve when it comes to movies?
I think my biggest pet peeve when it comes to movies is like bad camera panning. Like when they're like when one person is talking, the camera is completely on them, but then all of a sudden someone else starts talking and it like looks like they shoot over to the next person instead of like, you know, like
instead of a different camera, like getting them or something?
Yeah, like a different camera angle. They're just using like one single camera. Because I think it happened in that show Roadhouse. Have you seen that yet? It's a really good show, but there was one scene specifically that was like the guy was talking and it was like on him. And then it panned super quick over to the girl who's talking and then back to him. And I'm like, what? Just use a different camera angle.
I think that is like a specific style of filmmaking, though. Well, it's called like something because Adam talks about it because it has to do with like, for it's almost like a I don't know what he calls it, almost like a first person, like angle or something. Like I don't know, it is like a thing though.
It's different when it's something like Paranormal Activity or like where they have a camera. You know, yeah. And they're like running with it. Like it's like a camcorder. That's different. But I don't know. Anyway, what's yours?
So my biggest pet peeve is when like a woman in the movie is pregnant and then they do the whole birth scene and everything. Like, and then they pull the baby out and they hand the mom the baby. And the baby is like clearly like 3 or 4 months old, like cooing, smiling, like there's no way that that baby was just born. And I don't know why they can't find like a little bit of a smaller baby, because I like absolutely hate that.
It's well, like, yeah, I mean, they can't give you like a fresh out of the womb newborn. Like, oh, we have one born. Go run it into that room so that we could film it.
Right. But like somehow they kind of can, though, because I watched a show called I think it was called like Call the Midwife or something, the Midwife. And they used real newborns on that show. And I had, but, like, so much more respect.
Were these people, like, actually pregnant, though, with the kid?
Mm-mm. No, it was just the show, but they just got, like, newborn babies, and it looked so much better. Mm. And plus, with technology today, can't they, like, make a, like, a doll of a newborn that looks very real? Like, moving around and, like, but just really tiny? That just, like, CGI. Bothers me so much. Like, and we even watched, it was, like, a movie or a show, but it was, like, really, like a high quality movie or show. I can't remember what it was, but they also did the same thing where they used like this older baby. And I'm like, what? Like you guys couldn't find a newborn like for this.
Yeah.
Like everyone wants to be in these movies. Like why couldn't you like have scouted out some 9 month pregnant women and like said, hey, we can pay you like good money for your camera shot of
your baby.
Like a baby actor, it's not like they're buying the baby. I don't know. All right, yeah. I guess that's my pet peeve. Any other ones? Are you good?
Good.
Okay, let's go straight into the Instagram followers then. I want to give a special shout out to two because they were our 500th and 600th followers. So that happened between our the last time we recorded. Dayton Harmon is our 500th follower, and St. Mick, and it was like at something, but I couldn't pronounce it, but he would know who it is our 600th follower. And then Sasha Bird, Sandy Bridgers, and Stacy Lee Fleming. So those are our five Instagram
followers. I can't believe we're already at 600 followers.
I know. I think we're at like 650 now. Mm-hmm. We're heading right up there to our 700th.
Mm-hmm. And on Spotify, we have 90 followers on Spotify and about 40 on Apple. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
I know.
I'm excited. I'm so happy, like, you guys listen. This is, like, I love it. So, last week you talked about the history and weird facts about Volcano National Park. Is it Volcanoes National Park or Volcano?
I think Volcanoes, because there's more than one.
Okay. Volcanoes National Park. And I just wanted to say this because I listened to this podcast of a native Hawaiian, and he doesn't say Hawaii. He says Hawaii. So I'm not going to say it throughout.
No, it is actually spelled kind of like that because mm-hmm. it's Hawaii and then apostrophe I.
Yeah. So I thought that was kind of funny. And for those of you who haven't heard Ashley's episode last week, I encourage you to check that out first because she talked about some of the places that I'm going to talk about, but she went into more detail about the actual place where I'm going into like the myths and legends and ghost stories. So Hawaii Volcanoes National Park is known for its landscape, active volcanoes, rich culture, and my personal favorite, the mythical tales and ghost stories. One of the haunted places you can stay while visiting is the Volcano House. Volcano House is a historic hotel located within Volcanoes National Park. It was originally built in 1846 as a grass shack, but obviously it's been through a lot of renovations because a grass shack isn't going to make it through from 1846. There's been a grass shack?
Oh, I thought you said a grouse. A grouse shack. I'm like, what is that? Okay, never mind.
So obviously it's been through some rebuilds and now it's built out of concrete and lava rock. The hotel overlooks Kilauea, and I had to look this up. So, all right. Halemaumau Crater. Have you heard of that? Okay.
I think so. Maybe I saw the spelling.
Yeah, it doesn't look like that in the spelling. That's why I had to look it up. And there's, like, an actual Hawaiian native who, like, will tell you how to say all the words. So that's how I found it. There's multiple ghosts associated with the hotel. And always my favorite, the specific room ghost.
I like those two.
Yeah, me too. In room 44, and I like it because I always talk about you can talk, you know, you can tell them like I want to stay in room 44. But the more I thought about it, I would use it the opposite way. I'd be like, I don't want to stay in room 44. Like, I don't want to have to deal with a ghost when I'm staying.
Yeah. I thought you would want to stay.
In a ghost room?
Yeah.
No, no way.
To see, like, your apparition.
Yeah, I'm fine staying at a ghost, maybe staying at a ghost hotel, but not the actual room where all the stuff happens. Mm. Because I feel brave during the day. I feel like I'd be like, yeah, give me the room during the day. And then at night, I'd be like, I changed my mind. I don't want to do this anymore. So in room 44, there are a lot of reports of cold spots. Guests who have stayed in this room have reported feeling sudden drops of temperature, followed by Ashley's favorite, the sense of unease in being watched. It's like, just show yourself already. No. Also in room 44, you hear knocking, tapping, footsteps, whispers, and your name being called when no one's around. Ashley.
Oh, how do they know your name?
I mean, you checked in. Maybe they like follow you up.
They went downstairs and read the guest book and they're like, That's who's staying in my room.
Yeah. Maybe they went through your purse and found your wallet.
Yeah, probably.
They're very crafty, however they did it. Also in the room, lights flicker on and off, electronic devices malfunction, and objects appear to move on their own. Many guests have reported vivid dreams and a general sense of unease and heaviness in the room. Some think this activity is actually from, like, the volcanoes. You know, volcanoes have, like, a natural force and presence. So they think that maybe the energy from the volcanoes is what's making people have, like, with the electrical and having these dreams and everything.
I could see that.
So that was just in room 44. Throughout the entire hotel, you can feel cold spots, hear unexplained noises, and see objects move on their own. Again, they said this activity might be because of the proximity to Kilauea. My favorite hotel ghost, if you decide to take a walk at night, you might see the ghost of a white dog roaming the hotel and surrounding grounds. Some say it's a guardian spirit protecting the guests from sacred land. So.
That's cute.
Would you be okay seeing a ghost dog? You know, we talk about, yes. I always ask you. So ghost dog is okay.
Ghost dog is okay.
Staff and guests report seeing the spirit of an elderly woman. She's often described as wearing a white dress and is usually seen sitting in a rocking chair or walking the hallways at night. Some think she's a former guest or a longtime resident of the area that passed away and decided to just hang out at the hotel. So I saved this last ghost for... I saved this last ghost for last. Because it ties into my...
I was wondering what you were going to say after that.
Right.
So
yeah.
I saved this last ghost for last.
My mind caught it right at the end. I'm like, oh. yeah, it ties in with other paranormal activity and legends in the park, so I decided to do this one last. It's the ghost of the volcano goddess Pele. Typically, she shows up as either a beautiful young woman or an old hag.
Oh, so you
how would you like to be described as an old hag?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can actually see her. I didn't know that. I thought it was just like a... like a legend, but no one's actually like seen her.
Huh. Yeah. So I'm going to go over that. I'm going to go over the legend of the goddess and then tell you about the ghosts of her also. So Pele is the Hawaiian goddess of volcanoes. She embodies the natural forces of fire, lightning, and wind. She's believed to have created the Hawaiian Islands, and her spirit still lives there today. Her presence can be felt around the active volcano of Kilauea and the calderas of the Volcano National Park. So I guess there's like calderas around Kilauea. According to tradition. Go ahead.
So I looked into that with my research, and I think a caldera is actually like inside the middle of the volcano. And every time a volcano erupts, it gets lower and lower and lower. Like it like breaks down. So it's like the middle.
Mm-hmm. That actually makes sense. Yeah. I pictured a caldera to be actually like a big basin, like next to the volcano.
Yeah, I did too. And so I was like reading it. I'm like, I actually think it's in it.
According to tradition, Pele was born on the island of Kahiki sometime between 850 and 1250 AD. From the time she was born, her parents knew she was special and very powerful. Her older sister, I won't say this name because I have no idea how, was jealous of her beauty and power. When Pele was a little older, her uncle taught her the importance of nature and the environment. He gave her a digging stick that possessed mana, and the word mana means power. So you're going to hear that a lot. So, she was always very interested in the power of fire, volcanoes, and the lava within, and her uncle taught her how to create and control the fire from the volcanoes. She was able to create huge fire pits, which are the calderas. So that now that actually does make a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. One day when she was alone, Pele was playing with a stick and accidentally burned down her sacred lands of her home. And so obviously her sister got even more mad at her. So Pele knew she had to flee. During her journey, she dug fire pits on each of the islands, creating volcanoes through eruptions. So here we go again. That you're right. These eruptions allowed her sister to track her. And eventually Pele reached the end of the line and the final epic battle happened and her sister killed her. Now her spirit is thought to live in and around the volcano Kilauea. Today, visitors to the park often report seeing apparitions or feeling a mystical presence, which they believe is Pele. I was just curious, like, I wonder what the difference between like a mystical presence and an eerie presence is.
I would think that like eerie would be like creepy, scary, but mystical would be like
powerful.
Yeah, like the good side of it, like magical, or you know. And maybe like you feel the mystical presence when you're doing like a ceremony or something sacred, but then you feel the eerie presence when you take a stone or you know one of her things.
Maybe.
The flowers, like we talked about. Mm-hmm.
So like we were just talking about, Pele is a goddess, but she also manifests in spirit and ghost form. While visiting the island, you might encounter an old woman dressed in white, sometimes accompanied by a white dog, asking for food or cigarettes.
Is it the same white dog?
I'm kind of thinking that.
Yeah.
So that might be like Pele's dog. I mean, I guess It's just kind of funny she asked for a cigarette.
Well, that wouldn't have even been her time. So I wonder if it's even the same person.
Well, I guess, you know? Okay, well, it said, well, it might be, though, because maybe that's, like, just what she's picked up over the years or something. Picked up a bad habit over the years. But they say that if you help her, you will be rewarded. And if you don't, you'll face her wrath. This figure is often thought to be Pele in disguise, testing the kindness of mortals. So I guess if you see an old woman dressed in white with a white dog, give her food and cigarettes and you might be rewarded. And it's kind of funny because I feel like if I were an older lady with white hair, I'd go to the shelter and get a white dog and like totally take advantage and sit outside the gas station and ask for cigarettes.
Yeah,
or not like cigarettes, every... I guess. Like, I don't smoke, but I guess I would ask for Kit Kats. I would, like, sit outside of the gas station and ask for Kit Kats. So, last week you talked a little bit about the curse of Pele. So, I'm just going to do, like, a quick recap. I won't go through all of it. But they say that with the curse, if you take a lava rock or sand home as a souvenir, you'll be cursed and bad things will continue to happen to you until you return the items. I found a link with some of the letters that people have sent to the national parks when they returned the items. And it's like pretty grim. Like people talk about family members dying, getting cancer, divorces. So if you want to read some of those stories or those letters, I encourage you to check that out. I'm going to link it in our show notes. And aside from the curse, like everything I've heard or seen about Pele, it seems like she's more interested in protecting her land and her people. Like, she doesn't seem like she's like a jerk, you know. It's like she's just trying to like maintain what she's built and like the respect for her land and all that. So Pele's pretty legit.
Do you have like one note that we can hear?
What so I found an example. Yeah, I just wanted to share a short one. There's some like really very in-depth ones, but I just wanted to give you a short one for an example. Please accept this donation sent along with this lava rock pendant. We offer our sincerest apologies for the removal of the rock to Madame Pele. We are not sure whether it was our parents or grandparents that kept the stone, but we have had bad luck cast on us for two generations. If Pele would please forgive us and our disrespect and ignorance, we would be eternally grateful, sincerely, and then gave their name.
I really wish that they would write back and say my luck got better, or like we could have an update. Mm-hmm. Like, excuse me, can we have an update on how your life has been?
I listened to a bunch of stuff about this, and the Hawaiians actually say that this is like a serious pain in the butt because people are constantly sending back with their letters. They're sending like sand and rocks and all these things. And they say that there is like there's a person in the post office who actually goes through the mail because there's so many of them that they have a designated person that has to go through and look for all of the returned Pele curse mail. And then they have to return the stuff. So they say it's actually like the manpower to do this has become so overwhelming that they're like, could you guys just please like not take the stuff?
Maybe that's like, why they made it like just a please law. Don't.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's probably a good idea, but people still sneak and take it. That's the problem. They take it and they're like, oh, nothing's gonna happen to me, and then all this stuff happens.
But I feel like if there's a law and someone catches you and you're fined for it, it's worse than like, you know, someone being like, oh, I don't believe in curses, I'm gonna take it anyway. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like they'll be like, well, I really don't want that fine.
Yeah, I guess so. I still think they would do it.
No, for sure. They obviously are. But, like, mm-hmm. I just feel like with both of those, maybe it would deter more people.
That could be. I mean, you sure there isn't a law?
I just said there was. And I said it in my...
No, but that you just said for the flowers.
No, I said for the rocks, too.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I said there's a ban. And it was under the weird laws and facts.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so why don't you guys just please, like, not take stuff from Hawaii? another paranormal sighting to watch out for when visiting the park are the night marchers. So I could have done an entire episode on the Night Marchers because there's so much information and so many stories, but I just, you know, like, this is a condensed version of it. Also, this is one I wouldn't mess with. You know, like some of these were like, oh, there's a ghost in room 44, but like we would still stay in room 44. Like this one, there are so many legends stuff about it. Like I wouldn't even play around. So the Night Marchers are ghosts of Hawaii's elite chiefs and warriors that roam the island during certain nights, often associated with the lunar cycles. Typically, they march the last four phases of the lunar cycle because the last four phases are the darkest. So a little fun fact for you, North America has 8 lunar phases, but Hawaii has 30 lunar phases.
Wow.
So if you knew that America, like North America had 8 phases, you were probably thinking, well, that means they're out half the time, but that's why, because Hawaii actually has 30 phases. So the legend of the Night Marcher started a long time ago. Back in the day, so we're talking about like when the Night Marchers, like the warriors and the elite chiefs were still alive, they held certain powers known called mana, and they believed that if a commoner looked directly at them, the commoner would steal their mana. Or if the commoner was in the shadow of a chief, they would also steal their mana. The only way for the chief to get their mana back was to violently kill the person who looked at them.
Oh.
Like super harsh.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep commoners from accidentally seeing them and ultimately being killed, the chiefs would give a warning. When they were on the move, they would beat drums, blow a conch shell horn, and chant so that people would know they were coming and have a chance to hide. It's also believed that's why they traveled at night, so they wouldn't cast a shadow on anybody.
Hmm.
So that brings us to the current day spirit realm legend of the Night Marchers. If you're on any of the Hawaiian islands, you might accidentally come into contact with the Night Marchers. They travel in a line, wearing traditional attire, carrying torches and weapons. The specific route of the Night Marchers can vary depending on the location and the local legends in the area, but typically they travel along a specific path that leads them to sacred sites, burial grounds, temples, and other areas of spiritual significance.
Oh, so you might see them on the petroglyph trail because petroglyphs are considered like sacred sites.
Very possible. I know. But luckily,
so
it's
hide
at
your
night,
kids
so.
Hide your wife, because the Night Marchers are getting everybody out there.
So if you're out at night, here's a few things to watch out for. Encounters with the Night Marchers are characterized by a sense of dread and the sound of drums, conch shell horns, and chanting in the distance. And they, like Hawaiians, say this is no joke. They say if you hear any of this stuff or see like a line of torches, like just leave. Like don't play around with it. Don't even like test it. If you're unfortunate enough to encounter them, it's advised to show respect and humility by lying flat on the ground, face down, naked if possible, and avoid eye contact. So basically like total submission, like don't look at them, act like you don't see them at all. They say that if you get killed by a Night Marcher, you'll join their procession for eternity. A couple of things that can protect you from the Night Marchers are if you are a descendant of one of the Night Marchers, they put a shield of protection around you, or if you have a sacred tea plant planted around your house, that will also protect you, but only when you're in the house. So I guess like they say in Hawaii, like a lot of the houses have these tea plants planted around them, and that's why.
Oh, I wish I would have known before I went, because I would have looked for that.
The tea plants?
Yeah.
Or the Night Marchers?
No, the tea plants.
Yeah, I don't know what they look like. I'll put them on Instagram so you can check them out. Some pro tips are don't whistle at night. You might accidentally summon the Night Marchers. And run if you hear them coming. There's a few indicators. Mm-hmm. Right. there are a few indicators that they are coming, which are, like we talked about before, the drums, chanting, horn, but they also said the smell of rotting flesh. And you can see a line of torches.
Oh,
it's... I don't know. Yeah, I was listening to, I think I told you, with that podcast with the guy who lived in Hawaii. He's like a native. And he said he's seen them like a couple times.
Really?
And yes, like from a distance. He saw like the line of torches. And then there was like another time he was like, he was out doing something and he saw the outline shadow of people on a cliff. And he was talking to like some, like an older, I don't know what they would be called, like basically like a wise man of the village or something. I don't know
a
what
master.
Exactly. The, yeah. Like a Hawaiian master or something. And he told him about it. And he's like, I can't believe you saw that. He said you saw like a extremely rare, where it was just like the deities or something of the night marchers, like the highest of the high, like that's where they go. And he's like, I can't believe you saw that. That's so cool. And so what do you think about the night marchers? Do you think it'd be cool to see them or?
Well, from afar maybe, but I was wondering where you were going with that. Like, so what do you think? Would you, I'm like, would I what? Absolutely not. I wouldn't do anything.
What if you heard like the drums and the chanting and stuff? Would you take off?
Well, honestly, I probably would just think it was some kind of like ceremony that someone was having. But if I actually started to see stuff, then I would get nervous and like run. I think it'd be cool to see from afar, but I wouldn't go towards it at all.
Yeah, I think so too. And I was even thinking about that. I'm like, well, how do you know it's not like someone on the beach having a like a pig roast or something? You know how like they when you roast the pig and you do like the luau, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah,
so it's like, how would you know it's not like a luau or something? So that's why I'd be kind of scared.
Yeah, I think I'm like, I think the whole like trail, like them being in a line with torches, that would be like a big indicator. But I wonder like what kind of like spirit that is. Like it has to be like a, like, you know, we talk about like intelligent and all these things. It's like an intelligent evil spirit, which is scary because they have like a sense of, I don't know how to explain it, like a sense of being.
I do agree with that, the intelligent, but I don't know that they're evil. I think that that's just the way they lived when they were alive. Remember I told you, like, when they were alive, if a commoner looked on them, it took their power, so they had to kill the commoner, and that's just, like, the way it was back then, and it just still is the same way, so they don't see it as evil. They're just thinking they're taking their power back.
Yeah.
So the next area of the park with paranormal activity.
What? No, you're left.
I'm doing the Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah. Anyway,
the next area in the park with paranormal activity are the lava tubes. So you talked about the lava tubes.
I know.
I didn't want to say it when you were doing your episode. So
I was wondering if there was going to be anything in there. Yeah.
So yeah, like you said, basically they're caves, but they're called tubes. And I don't know why, but I just like that better. Lava tubes. It just sounds cooler. So a brief recap in case you didn't hear last week's episode. The lava tubes are natural tunnels formed by flowing lava. And when you're in the tubes, you might hear footsteps echoing behind you and no one else is around. It's believed these footsteps belong to the departed souls or to the demigods or spirits known to inhabit the island. One reported ghost story involves a spectral figure known as the Fire Goddess.
Oh, there's another one? Oh.
Well, maybe. Visitors have reported eerie experiences and sightings of a luminous figure within the passage. According to local legend, the Fire Goddess is believed to be Pele. So, she kind of goes to a couple different places. Encounters with the Fire Goddess are often described as a brief glimpse of a radiant figure moving gracefully through the shadows of the lava tubes. If you witness the fire goddess, it's said that you will feel a sense of awe and reverence in her presence, as well as a profound connection with nature. It seems like most of the lava tube stories are positive, or at least not too scary, but I came across this guy on YouTube who is a native Hawaiian, and he does like legends and stuff, so I will link his YouTube if you want to listen to some of these stories, because they're so interesting. Mm-hmm. And I am going to, if this is possible, Ashley, I would like to play a clip of his audio of one of his stories. It's only like 30 seconds, and it's called The Abyss. Okay, so I'm going to play the clip right here.
Okay.
That the footsteps she heard were not echoes. Holly had been walking for over an hour. She could no longer hear the calls of her friends in the darkness. The only thing she heard were her own footsteps echoing off the walls. The slight warm breeze on her cheek told her there should be an opening nearby. With each turn in the lava tube, she expected to see light, but it was just more darkness. She wouldn't realize until it was too late that the footsteps she heard were not echoes of her own. They belonged to the shriveled old man who'd been blowing on her face, leading her deeper into the dark abyss.
I like seriously just got the chills.
Yeah.
That's pretty terrifying, right?
Yeah, that's creepy.
Yuck.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to hear someone else's footsteps when there's no one there.
Well, also, that wasn't even the scary part. It was the warm air blowing on her face, leading her deeper into the tunnel where she thought it was leading her out of the tunnel. But the guy,
mm-hmm.
the old man was like leading her into the tunnel.
Ew.
Mm-mm. Okay. So if you want to hear more stories like that, go ahead and go to this guy's YouTube channel. It's like really cool. So now I'm going to do like you did with the rapid fire ghost stories. Because there's, like, so many ghost stories there. Like, I don't need mm-hmm. to, like, set up each of them. So get out your oohs and ahs.
Mm,
and here's the rapid-fire ghost stories. Visitors and park rangers have reported hearing chanting in the park late at night or in the early hours of the morning, particularly around the caldera areas. These chants are thought to be ancient Hawaiians continuing their spiritual practices.
Ooh.
There have been reports of ghostly apparitions of a woman dressed in white wandering near the Jaeger Museum in Overlook. Legend has it that she was a visitor who fell victim to the dangers of the volcano and now wanders the area searching for something lost in life.
Ah.
Park rangers and visitors have reported strange occurrences at the cabins and lodges within the park. Lights flicker, doors slam shut, and whispers are heard in the dead of night. Some believe that these cabins are inhabited by the spirits of those who once lived or worked in the area.
Ooh.
There are tales of mysterious presence felt at the rim of the Halemaumau crater. Some visitors have reported feeling a sense of unease or being watched, your favorite, while exploring the area, leading them to believe it's the spirit of Pele herself.
Oof.
The park contains an area where mysterious footprints are preserved in hardened volcanic ash. While these have a scientific explanation, these are likely left by people caught in an eruption in 1790. They have fueled ghost stories about the spirits of those who died there wandering near the prints.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Add one more. Okay. There are tales of a spectral presence along the Chain of Craters Road, an area known for its scenic views and volcanic activity. Some visitors report seeing a ghostly figure that suddenly disappears.
Wow. You talked about a lot of stuff that I did, so that's cool.
Right. Well, when you were going over it, I was like, oh, I know that. I didn't know about mm-hmm. the thing, but I was like, mine ties into, it was like almost every single thing mm-hmm. that you talked about, I tie mine had ghost stories. So it's like, that's what makes me think that Hawaii is like super, super, well, okay. So I almost feel like I did like a disservice in this episode because there are so many ghost stories and legends that like I couldn't possibly cover in one episode. So like, I don't know, I'll figure out a way. Maybe I can like go on like stories or something and put like some of the other ones, like Instagram mm-hmm. stories. But yeah. I think Hawaii is like such an interesting place and it's fueled by like so many like local legends. And I love that. Like when like people hold beliefs for generations and it keeps getting passed down and passed down and passed down. And I think that's like so interesting. So yeah, that's all I have for my episode.
Spooky. I like the soups. What were those people called? The night people?
The night marchers?
Yeah. I like those. Well, I don't like them, but that was my favorite story.
It just seems very real. Like people are very serious when they say they saw them. They're not just like, you know, like a little girl telling a ghost story or something. I mean, these are like grown people who experience this and are like, yes, 100% this happened. I'm not making this up.
Mm-hmm. It's creepy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that was scary.
I know.
Shivers.
All right.
Well, thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you again next week.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye.
Goodbye.